Howdy and welcome to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. This is week 10, day 1 of the study of 1 Kings. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about 1 Kings 21, 1 through 14. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. On Mondays, I want to pray for the nation of Japan. Lord, I ask that you would raise up laborers to go into the nation of Japan. Would you raise up missionaries? Would you raise up Japanese believers to share the gospel of Jesus with every person around them? God, would you draw the Japanese people to you? And Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us today? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, let's jump into God's word today. We'll be reading from the NIV. This is 1 Kings 21, verse 1. Sometime later, there was an incident involving a vineyard belonging to Naboth the Jezreelite. The vineyard was in Jezreel, close to the place of Ahab, or palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. Ahab said to Naboth, "Let me have your vineyard to use for a vegetable garden, since it is close to my palace. In exchange, I will give you a better vineyard, or if you prefer, I will pay you whatever it is worth." Now here we see that all of this is going to happen because Ahab wants a vegetable garden near his house. Now, because of the drought that happened in the past, it may be that the productivity of the land diminished, or certain farmers or different things had to go out of business, or they weren't able to continue doing what they were doing. And Ahab realizes that he can't tax everyone enough vegetables to supply his house with vegetables. So that may be what is spurring this on. But in the end, he can find other land to do a vegetable garden. He just wanted it near his palace. And so there's a vineyard next to his palace. And so he knows that the land is fertile. It'll work. And so he wants to tear out the vineyard and put in a vegetable garden. The only problem is it belongs to this man. Verse 3. But Naboth replied, "The Lord forbid that I should give you the inheritance of my ancestors." So Ahab went home, sullen and angry, because Naboth the Jezreelite had said, "I will not give you the inheritance of my ancestors." He lay in his bed sulking and refused to eat. Now here we see that Ahab is having a pity party because Naboth wouldn't sell him his vineyard so that he could have a vegetable garden. This is the most ridiculous thing out of all the things that we could have a pity party over. This is quite ridiculous. Ahab has the ability to tax people for whatever he wants, and those vegetables, he could get them. He could buy other properties that's a little bit further away. This is nonsense that he is doing this. Now, the reason Naboth doesn't want to sell this is because this is ancestral land that's been, it was portioned out for him by Moses and Joshua long, long, long ago, and maybe it's that Naboth, this is the last piece of family land he has. He doesn't want to sell it. Or maybe he just feels really stirred to hold on to something to the unified kingdom of Israel when all the tribes followed the one true God. Who knows? But for whatever reason, he doesn't want to sell Ahab this land for any price and no matter what Ahab wants to give him. I mean, Ahab is saying, "Hey, I've got other vineyards I'll give you. I've got other stuff. I just want a vegetable garden near my house." And because he won't do it, that sends Ahab into a little temper tantrum. This is a case for not finding yourself in covetousness, not desperately wanting the things that belong to your neighbor. That's what coveting is really wanting what someone else has. And that's what Ahab is doing here. Coveting is not something that poor people do or rich people do. It's something that everybody can do. Doesn't mean necessarily you do it, but if you find yourself in this place, there's an easy fix for it, and it is getting over it and giving. Giving is the best way to get over covetousness. Instead of sitting there and stewing and thinking about, "Man, I want what that person has." Instead of doing that, which is what our nation does in the United States today, that's what we do. That's what we're taught to do. That's what commercials are for, is to make us want what other people have and want that new thing. Instead of going that direction, we should turn and go the opposite direction, where we actually give. We give freely of the things that we have, and that frees us from covetousness. And that would have saved Ahab in this situation if he would have given to the poor, given to the needy, given to somebody, given to the Lord, done something to relieve himself of this. Instead, he just stews in this thought, and it makes him this miserable wreck. And that sets up what's going to happen here. Verse 5, his wife Jezebel came in and asked him, "Why are you so sullen? Why won't you eat?" He answered her, "Because I said to Naboth the Jezreelite, 'Sell me your vineyard, or if you prefer, I will give you another vineyard in its place.' But he said, 'I will not give you my vineyard.'" Jezebel, his wife, said, "Is this how you act as king over Israel? Get up and eat. Cheer up. I'll get the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite." Ahab, I think he had to have known what was about to go down because he knows his wife. He knows Jezebel. This is the woman who was killing off and murdering the prophets of the Lord. I mean, she is the Darth Vader of the Old Testament. I mean, she is going and trying to kill off all of the people of the Lord. She gets what she wants, no matter how wicked her methods are. Ahab knows this, and she goes away saying, "I'll get it for you." Ahab has got to be thinking, "Oh my." But he lets her do it. He lets her do it. And so here's what happens. Verse 8. So she wrote letters to in Ahab's name, placed a seal on them, and sent them to the elders and nobles who lived in the Naboth city with him. In those letters she wrote, "Proclaim a day of fasting and seat Naboth in a prominent place among the people, but seat two scoundrels opposite him and have them bring charges that he has cursed both God and the king. Then take him out and stone him to death." So the elders and nobles who lived in Naboth's city did as Jezebel directed in the letters she had written to them. They proclaimed a fast and seated Naboth in a prominent place among the people. Then two scoundrels came and sat opposite him and brought charges against Naboth before the people, saying, "Naboth has cursed both God and the king." So they took him outside the city and stoned him to death. Then they sent word to Jezebel, "Naboth has been stoned to death." So here we see, I mean, Jezebel used... She uses every nasty little trick in the book. She's forging letters with Ahab's name, presumably because she doesn't carry enough weight on her own. But it almost kind of seems like these people that are carrying out these orders, it almost seems like they know that Jezebel is behind this. They know that it's her, even though it's carrying Ahab's seal. At least that's when I read the text, what it seems to lead me to believe, because it says that they carried out Jezebel's order. Not necessarily the order that they thought Ahab was giving them. So I'm not going to put all the fault on Ahab, but I think he owes a little bit of fault for this because he knows what kind of woman Jezebel is. He knows what she's going to be doing. Jezebel is just as wicked can be. We see, I mean, just no shred of decency or dignity anytime we've ever encountered Jezebel. She is as wicked can be. She will use whatever means, no matter how wicked and evil she has, to get what she wants. And here, I mean, forging, lying, cheating, false testimony, false oath, and murder. That's what she used to get this little bitty vineyard. I mean, why not just say, "Listen, I'm the king. I'm going to take it from you. I'm going to take this." There wasn't even any need for this. As king, I'm sure there's some way he could have said, "I'm taxing you of this. This is my land now." But he refused to do that, and so Jezebel goes and murders this guy for it. What a tragic beginning to this story that's going to have a somewhat happy ending, not for Naboth, of course, or his family, but the Lord is going to be able to break in here in an amazing way, not for Jezebel, but at least for Ahab and for Israel. Well, that's it for today. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. I'm really glad you joined me. As always, I appreciate it when you leave a review on iTunes. It's one of the best ways to let other people know about this podcast. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I'll be back tomorrow with another day of the 10-Week Bible Podcast.